We are back. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. If you didn't catch the first half of the show with Cohen Miles Rath, it will be up within an hour after I wrap up. If you're not familiar with the show, you can head over to the show blog and learn more about my show, Get the Funk Out. But standing by to join me is journalist Haley Krischer, and she's going to talk about her new psychological thriller, You Belong to Me. Good morning, Haley.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you so much.
I feel like this book is also very timely because there, as I mentioned to you before we went on, there's so much that goes on with social media and mental health, and so I'm not going to give too much away, but let's jump into what inspired you to tell this story, You Belong to Me.
Well, You Belong to Me is about a high school girl who falls in love with the daughter of a local wellness guru. And suddenly she dumps all of her friends and starts working for the wellness company. She starts wearing white dresses like all of the other girls wear, drinking turmeric shots and using expensive beauty products, mm-hmm. which isn't all bad. But then someone dies and she starts questioning everything about the company. And have they manipulated her? Are they lying to her? And is this a cult?
Yeah.
And I really wanted to write about how the wellness industry is, and you know, how teens and their parents are being marketed to in a very intense way these days. The wellness industry is a $6.3 trillion industry.
Whoa.
And it's supposed to hit, supposed to hit $9 trillion by 2028. And beauty stores like Sephora and Ulta are seeing just such huge surge in young customers. So the industry calls them Sephora kids. And I think, you know, it's just always been sort of this fascination to me, especially when celebrity wellness lines and celebrity makeup lines have come out, and there's just so many cult-like tactics that the wellness and beauty industry use to market to our teens. It's just a fascination to me, and I just wanted to explore that.
And tell me about your backstory as a journalist.
I've been a journalist for over 20 years, and I've always written about women and teenagers and how they relate to each other and how they relate to the outside world. There's always the psychological element to my stories and sort of a real world story. And so I worked when I wasn't writing. When I lived in San Francisco back in the 90s, and I worked at a health food store called Tums Natural Foods. And I don't know anyone from that area listens.
Where was it located? Tums Natural
Foods? It was called Tums Natural Foods, and it was in San Francisco.
Okay.
And it was in the Richmond section, and this was before like the rise of Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I saw all of these, you know, practices very early, just about how people would really kind of blindly want to believe what was told to them about what can sort of help them and cure them.
Yes.
Which of course makes perfect sense, because we all want to feel good, mm-hmm. and we all want, you know, to be able to have a magic pill sort of that makes us feel better. But, you know, wellness and medicine and even Eastern medicine is just a lot more complicated than that.
It sure
you can't
is.
Just say, oh, this is here, take this supplement and this is going to change your life. It just simply doesn't work that way.
I agree. And the marketing is, you know, you need to be better, have a better version of yourself and to be fixed, that you're not okay the way you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's like a big issue. And you know, look, the beauty industry has always sort of done this. You know, when I was a kid, we were all sold a certain kind of jeans would make you look better. A certain mascara would make you look better. you know, you'd go into the drugstore, you'd find the one mascara, CoverGirl or whatever it was, and, you know, you'd go home and use it and hope that, you know, this is like a magic pill and your eyes are going to suddenly be incredible.
Yes.
But, you know, today our kids and us as adults, it's not just, you know, teenagers and children, it's adults too. We are being just bombarded by images on social media that is just constantly telling us that we're not good enough.
Oh, yeah.
And again, back to this idea that, you know, wellness culture has this sort of ability to attract all of these kind of cult-like figures, like these celebrities who have enormous influence
and don't
necessarily care whether things have, you know, their products have been fact-checked or not.
Yeah.
And I think seeing that and also the idea that we can be influenced so easily on, you know, on social media, it just, I think it makes us inherently insecure. How could it not?
Oh, you know? Tremendously.
We all scroll in the middle of the night, you know, on Instagram or TikTok and I see, like, for instance, just last week I saw something that was going to help make my skin look better and it was going to help my stomach feel better. And I thought,
ooh,
okay, click, I'm buying that.
they got you.
You know, because we're all sort of vulnerable to this.
Sure.
It's impossible to not be vulnerable to it.
I know. Well, and the power of social media, I mean, all you have to do is spend some time on TikTok shop and you'll be buying, you know, the hair wand. I did. I actually love it. I forget the eyeliner that was really big for a while. The eyeline, it was like the white eyeliner. And
yes.
It's just everything, you know, and there's so many things that are coming to my house that I'm not ordering. I won't name names, but there's just so much stuff that is marketed.
Yeah, well, and they also, you know, unfortunately use a lot of cult-like tactics, like I was saying, to influence us. You know, the cosmetics industry can manipulate teens and adults into thinking that we need these products. And if we, you know, continue to use them, that, you know, that will have, you know, change. And some of the change might be very small, and maybe perhaps we will see some change, but like you said, we're all targeted by a culture that sells women and men the lie that we're just not enough exactly as we are.
Yes.
And so in my book, You Belong to Me, I was really fascinated by the idea that the people who are perpetuating these messages can be also victims themselves.
Oh, yeah.
That they're both victimizers and victims because they're participating in a culture where they're manipulating people, lying and abusing people, but they're being manipulated as well.
Yes.
You know, they're being preyed upon by the leaders of this wellness company in the book. And, you know, I think that the wellness and the wellness industry are really two different things, and people sort of have to remember that because wellness theoretically is not a scam.
Right.
You know, we want to feel good, and it makes sense that of course we want to feel good, but because of consumerism and marketing and bad business practices, a lot of people haven't really learned the importance of holistic healing as a wellness practice.
I completely agree.
For many reasons, it's really barely taught.
Yeah, no, I agree. And think about the money that young people spend, or anyone really, on these products, when in fact, maybe they just need to explore something that doesn't even cost a dime.
Yes. Well, in my book, the mother says to her daughter, who is the daughter, her name is Frances Bean.
Yes.
She's this young girl who is sort of, like I said, gets sort of sucked into this wellness company. And her mother says to her, you know, Vaseline, there's nothing wrong with drugstore products. Just please remember that.
Yes.
As you're bringing home all of these, you know, products that say natural and detox and
which mean nothing.
Organic.
Yeah. Yes.
Just remember that Aquaphor is also fine.
I agree. Some coconut oil goes a long way.
Yes, especially coconut oil.
Coconut oil. Frances Bean. I was thinking, did she listen to Nirvana? How did you come up with that name?
Yes, I'm wearing my Nirvana t-shirt right now, actually.
Cool.
I was a big Nirvana fan in the 90s. And, I really wanted to create a character who's an outsider. And I couldn't think of anyone who was more than of an outsider than Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, they were so popular and so part of, the zeitgeist at that time. But I think that they probably felt like they were outcasts.
Sure.
And I think that, Kurt Cobain really struggled with that, the psychology of, being this incredibly popular person who felt like an outcast.
Yes.
And so I thought, if I'm writing a book about this, someone who's really psychologically feels like they don't belong to anything. I wanted to make my main character give her a name that was really iconic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I chose Frances Bean because she, she's a teacher's daughter. She goes to this very elite, super expensive private school. And the only reason why she goes there is because her mother is a teacher. And, she's very close with her friends who happen to be incredibly supportive people, but they're sort of these goth outcasts that everyone makes fun of and tells them that they look like they're going to a funeral all the time. And, Frances Bean, her hair is like kind of bleach blonde and her skin isn't that great. So when she meets Julia, who's the daughter of this wellness guru, she starts to see other ways that she could fit in. And that a lot of that has to do with just sort of these exterior, very surface ways,
mm-hmm.
but also some incredibly spiritual ways. Because I think the wellness cult in my book, You Belong to Me, they want people to come in because they want you to feel meaning, so that they can take advantage of you. And so that's what happens to Frances Bean.
So powerful. Are any of the characters based on any real people or personal experiences?
I will say that there is a celebrity wellness company that I can't name the name for.
That's fine.
But it's a very, very big celebrity wellness company. And they were supposed to have a deal with an enormous magazine company.
Mm-hmm.
And this was actually detailed in a New York Times Magazine article. This celebrity wellness company was supposed to, like I said, have a deal with this big magazine company, except the magazine company had one thing that they had to agree to, which is they needed to be fact-checked.
Uh-huh.
And the celebrity wellness company didn't want to be fact-checked.
Got it.
Because they don't do fact-checking at this celebrity wellness company.
Got it.
And, anybody could sort of look it up. Like I said, it's a big New York Times Magazine article.
Mm-hmm.
My lawyers have asked me not to speak about the name of this company, per se. But I think companies like that, really came to my mind when mm-hmm. I was writing You Belong to Me.
Yeah.
I also was really looking at cult stories as well, because I was always fascinated by cults. And I think that, we're all probably fascinated by cults, with how many documentaries there are out there about cults right now. And I've always been sort of fascinated by how cult members, like the Manson sisters, can be victimizers and victims at the same time. And there was a lot about that I wanted to explore, because I think that, cult leaders can really do a big job on your brain with thought control.
Oh, yes.
They can really make you feel like there's a belief that you can't find the truth without hearing it from them first, that the leader is right at all times, and anyone who doesn't agree with them is not legitimate. They practice absolute authoritarianism without accountability.
Yeah.
And so I think also the times that we're living in, it just made a lot of sense to me that this was something that I wanted to explore.
That's what stood out for me, that in a time of gaslighting and control and social media. I mean, between the fact that cell phone companies have, you know, hypnotized us and we're addicted and we're not present in our relationships, then you have the products that a lot of them operate without a conscience. And then they're marketed on the social media platforms by the influencers that are young. And it's just this spiral negative of impact.
Yeah, and I don't know how that's going to change unless you have like serious government regulation, and then you're talking about people who, you know, who don't want the government controlling their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's understandable, and I think that, you know, there has to be though some middle ground, especially when we're protecting our kids.
Yes.
And especially with the social media companies. My kids right now are 16 and 21.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't know how manipulative these social media companies were.
No,
at the time.
Nobody did.
You know, when we were just sort of freely giving our kids phones, yeah, because it was a great way to keep them busy.
Yeah. But Haley,
but you see kids on social media who are like 10 years old, and it's just, you have to really be able to have conversations with your kids about what social media does to their brains.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of schools and communities are starting to do this. You know, in the last administration, you know, the Surgeon General, I believe, said that we need a warning for social media companies.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen with this administration.
No.
And at least it's not happening now.
No.
I don't see any kind of talk about that. I see the tech people in charge of a lot of things.
You're talking about Dr. Vivek Murthy. He's amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the previous Surgeon General.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, I am.
He's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, he was amazing. And I'm not sure how that's, you know, parents are really on their own right now. And it's a really scary thing. Because you have to let your kids figure out the world on their own, but you also have to be able to parent them. And it's very hard to do that with the apps that are out there. And we don't want to, like, just walk around parenting in fear all the time. That's not good for anybody. So it's a very hard time.
Yes. I know very few kids, but they are out there, that are not they're not on phones. They don't have a phone, or they have a flip phone, and they have a fuller life. They're more engaged with their world and activities, and as opposed to just being sucked into this tunnel of social media.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I think that there's such huge pressure on kids and their parents to be involved, mm-hmm, in this way.
Yeah,
and it's very hard not to be.
Right.
You know, like I said, I don't think, you know, for instance, in You Belong to Me, in my book, you know, Frances Bean's mother is very compassionate. She's very honest. She teaches, you know, women's literature, and, you know, she's really a down-to-earth person. But even she doesn't realize what's happening with her daughter, that her daughter is being completely influenced by all of these images that she sees of all of these girls in this wellness company, which is called Deep. She sees all of these girls who work for Deep wearing these beautiful white dresses, and their skin is perfect, and they all look like their best friends and having the most amazing time. And even with that kind of parenting, that you have this person who's, like I said, really on top of their kid, she still is, Frances is still able to, you know, very much get sucked into this world. It's complicated. I think it's, and it's been complicated for me as a parent.
I'm sure.
You know?
Yeah. So where can people find out more about you? And are you doing a book tour?
Yeah, you know, I've done a couple of events. I actually just did one in L.A. last week, so it was too bad that if any of your folks missed it. But you can find me on HaleyKrischer.net.
Okay.
And you can also find me on Instagram, my full name, Haley Krischer. I have a couple of other books out as well. And you can find me at any local bookstore, or at your library, or of course at some of the big bookstores as well.
And could you mention your previous books? Because I was going to ask you about those.
Oh, yeah, sure. So my last book was an adult book actually called Where Are You, Echo Blue? And that was the only adult book that I've written, and that came out in July from Dutton. And that is about the most famous child star of the 90s who disappears on the eve of the millennium, and the journalist, who also happens to be an obsessed fan, who goes after her. And so that deals with a lot of also psychological things as well.
Okay.
And then the book before that that I wrote is called The Falling Girls. And that is about sort of a best friend breakup in the mix of a very intense cheerleading group. And then the book I wrote before that was my first book, my debut, is called Something Happened to Allie Greenleaf. And that is about a girl who gets sexually assaulted by the most popular boy in her high school. And that is based on an event that actually happened in Glen Ridge, New Jersey, in 1989. And Glen Ridge happens to be the town I live in now. So it's sort of a story that kind of always stuck with me from the time I was a teenager.
That must have received a lot of attention for that book.
Yeah, it did. It also happened during the pandemic. It came out during the pandemic. So there was a lot of feedback that I got, but it all was digital.
Okay. The person that is the real Allie Greenleaf, did she read the book?
No, actually. Because it was based on a number of different people and a number of different experiences.
Okay.
You know, what happened in Glen Ridge, it was actually turned into a movie called Our Town, I believe, with Eric Stoltz.
Okay.
And it's also, like I said, a mix of a lot of different characters, but it was mostly based on this girl and another girl who became best friends with the attacker.
Okay.
She tries to convince Allie not to report the sexual assault.
Wow.
And so I was really diving into, you know, what that looks like. Again, I guess back to sort of when victimizers can be victims as well.
Definitely. Wow. Well, Haley, I want to thank you so much for calling in. Congratulations on your book, You Belong to Me. And I will stay in touch. And this will be up as a podcast within an hour after I wrap.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Be well. That was Haley Krischer talking about You Belong to Me. If you missed any part of this show, everything will be up as a podcast within an hour. You can always check out the show blog a little later on. It'll be on there, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. If you're not familiar with KUCI, you can head over to our website, kuci.org, and check out our socials, KUCI-FM. At the top of the hour, SoCal New Waver with Past Forward, and that is a wrap for me. If you want to find out about being a guest on my show, you can send me an email to Janine, Janeane, at KUCI.org. Have a great week, everyone. Oh, and by the way, there's a great show coming up tomorrow, Thursday, the 24th, 8 p.m. at the Barclay, Hiromi's Sonic Wonder. She is a jazz pianist. She's amazing. She has electrified audiences with a creative energy that encompasses and eclipses the boundaries of jazz, classical, and pop. And you can find out more by visiting thebarclay.org. All right, have a great week, everyone, and I'll be back next week. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.